Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we'll read this passage responsively, starting in verse number 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down through verse 22. I'll read the first verse, and then you join me on the next. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Read verse 22 also with me, please. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to meet together as a free people and hear your word preached. We thank you for what you've done here so many times in the past. Thank you for this morning service and how you met with us and how you challenged us and stirred our hearts to live closer to you. And now, Father, we come once again to the time where we hear the Word of God preached. And I pray that you would anoint our preacher with your power and use him to make us a little more like you want us to be. Speak to our hearts, we pray. Do a work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, I announce to you my sermon title for this evening. It is Fire Extinguishers. I'm going to read again to you a portion of the passage of Scripture you read earlier. You'll not need to turn to it. You already have once. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, there are a lot of ways that you could put out a fire. You could just ask Smokey the Bear about that. Water will work on some fires. If you're ever at a campfire and you don't have water, you can just kick a little dirt up on that fire and you could smother it. Sand will put out a fire. An explosion can put out a fire because when the explosion is set off, it eats the oxygen out of the air. And, of course, a fire needs oxygen. And if you remove the oxygen many times, it can douse a fire. There are ways of putting out a fire with a certain kind of a foam. Chemical fires often use a certain chemical foam to put the fire out. If there's ever a fire in your kitchen, ladies, if it's a grease fire, it can be put out with flour. You men, I'm not talking about roses now. Don't beat the fire with a handful of flour. We're talking about flour that you'd get in a 5-pound bag. There are many ways to put out a fire. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a fire that you never want to extinguish. You want it to burn. You want it to blaze in your life. Let me lay some groundwork for this truth. The sermon title, Fire Extinguishers. Listen carefully. A little of what I say will be repetitious of days going by. You've heard some of it before, but it helps us so much to be ready for the truth of a sermon. First of all, let me tell you this. Every human being has a spirit. You have a spirit. Listen to this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There the Bible tells us that man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Now, there's something I want to point out to you about that. In that verse, when it uses the word spirit, the word is spelled with a lowercase s. That's a small s. Now, when you see the word spirit and it's a small s in the Bible, it's talking about your spirit. It is not talking about the Holy Spirit. Because anytime it is the Holy Spirit is a capital S, because that is our God, and He always deserves a capital at the beginning of His name or any part of the Godhead. And so if you went all the way back to the book of Genesis and you found that the Spirit of God moved upon the earth or upon the waters, you'll find that that is a capital S. Here, it's talking about a small S, meaning that you and I are made up of body, soul, and spirit. We were made in the likeness of God, the Bible says. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is a three-part God. He's one God, but he's got three parts or three personalities. And man is made up of three parts. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Now, have you ever heard someone say, "Boy, he's a spitfire of a young man"? Well, what's it talking about? Well, he's fiery. He's got spirit. She's spunky. What are they talking about? Well, that person has spirit. They have a fire about them. Now, you're to keep your spirit healthy. And we're talking about your attitude. That's a good way of putting it. You got to keep your attitude healthy. But the spirit about you ought to be a healthy spirit. And you're to control your spirit. I want you to be here on Wednesday night. I'm going to teach a lesson entitled How to Keep a Woman's Spirit Healthy. Men, you're going to need to hear it. Everybody here. You ought to be here on Wednesday night. But you have a spirit, and you're to keep that spirit healthy. You're to keep your spirit under control, or you're to control your spirit. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, little s, than he that taketh a city." That means that your spirit is to be ruled or controlled. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his spirit, little s, is like a city that is broken down and without walls." It has a little s there, meaning that our spirit is to be controlled. And we are to have rule over our spirit. Your little s spirit can affect the big s spirit, God's spirit. And God's big S spirit can influence your little S spirit. Let me tell you a story. Elisha asked in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Now, let's do something very quickly. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Find it quickly. Hurry, hurry, hurry. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want you to see something that is very important. Remember, we're talking about your spirit. There's the capital S, Spirit of God. There's the lowercase s, our spirit. We're to keep our spirit healthy. Now, look back at me. Once you found 2 Kings chapter 2, you look at me. Let me make an explanation. Then I want to show you something about this story. Elijah was the first of these two prophets by the name of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was the first on the scene. Oh, he was a powerful man. Oh, did he do some miracles for God. Matter of fact, history records and the Bible records that Elijah did 8 marvelous miracles for God. And the Bible says that God was about to take Elijah off of this earth. He was going to be snatched away by God, and he was going to leave this earth. Well, Elijah said to the man that would follow him, the man named Elisha, he said, "Elisha, what in the world would you like as a going away gift from me? What would you like God to give you? I'm leaving. You're coming on the scene as a young prophet. What would you like?" And Elisha said, "I would like a double portion of your spirit." Now, a lot of people think that he was asking for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. But look at 2 Kings chapter 2. You look there. Look at verse number 9. It says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.'" Small s. This man named Elijah had a phenomenal attitude. And Elisha said, "I would like a double portion of your attitude, your spirit." And you know what happened? The Bible teaches us that Elisha ended up doing 16 miracles when Elijah had done 8. Of course, Elisha's request was, give me a double portion of your spirit. You say, what are you trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell you that your spirit is going to have a lot to do with whether or not the Holy Spirit can do anything with you. You see, if Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's spirit, somehow it popped the door open to the Holy Spirit of God being upon Elisha in a double portion. Get your spirit right, little s, and his spirit, big S, can accomplish double in your life. Your spirit hinders his spirit, or your spirit encourages his spirit. Number two, born again people have the Holy Spirit sealed inside them. You've heard me use this verse over and over again. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, capital S, of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Now, let me show you something. You, when you got born again, you said, you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Jesus came into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God that is sealed inside you. Now, God compares his spirit to fire. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, it says, John answered, saying unto them, all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchets of whom shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And fire. Here, the Lord is comparing the Holy Ghost, or the same thing as the Holy Spirit, as unto fire. See, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it burns within you. Let me read another verse. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, the Bible says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? This was Jesus Christ talking to some people, and these people, after having come in contact with Jesus Christ, said, while that man talked, I burned on the inside. There was something fiery going on the inside of me. You see, if you're saved, you have his spirit burning inside you. Songs like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, it wasn't talking about an electric light. Like the flame of a kerosene lantern. It burns, and burning inside you is to the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, remember though, you were created in God's likeness. He has the Holy Spirit. You have a spirit. His spirit is likened unto fire, and your spirit in his likeness is likened unto a fire. His, the Holy Spirit, is an attitude adjuster. Yours is an attitude adjuster as well. When your fire, your spirit, yields to the Holy Spirit, it can produce a blaze of spiritual warmth. That's what some of you are missing. Let his fire control your fire. Let his spirit lead your spirit. Let his attitude mold your attitude. If it were a flashlight that we were discussing here, let his powerful light beam shine through your little light bulb. I said to you, number one, every human has a spirit, little s, and God has the Holy Spirit, big S. When you got born again, the big S, Holy Spirit, moved into you and is sealed there, and he's there, so his big S, spirit, fire, can influence your little S, spirit, fire, and they join forces and do something great for God. That is how you're going to overcome the sins of your flesh. Number three, don't allow any fire extinguisher to put out your flames. You need to protect your spirit. Protect your fire. Protect your attitude. Protect your little s spirit. But wait, you need to protect His Spirit's influence in your life. His fire in your life. Big S. By the way, personally, as a preacher, it is one of my goals in the ministry that God has given me. I want to be a protector of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be a protector of the Holy Spirit's purpose. I want to be a protector and a promoter of the Holy Spirit's reputation. I'm not going to let these crazy half-cocked theologians that make it into drooling and weird languages. I'm not going to let them steal the true doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be afraid to preach on the Holy Spirit of God. I believe in anointing from the Spirit of God, and that the Holy Ghost comes upon a man and comes upon people and revival breaks out. But I don't think it's this emotional thing as much as it is the power of God resting on the people of God, and they begin to do the work of God in an amazing way. I want to be a protector of that spirit. But wait, protecting your fire, that's for your sake. But protecting your fire is for His sake. But protecting His fire is for His sake. And protecting His fire is for your sake. Let's do something. Let's protect one another's fires in the home. Let's protect one another's fires in the church. If you noticed earlier, as Brother Young was reading to us, it said there were some verses used. It said in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, let me read it to you. I'll start with verse 16. Listen to the entire passage. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and abstain from the appearance of evil. I want you to notice, Chuck, right in the midst of all that, it says, quench not the Spirit. What that means is, don't douse the fire. It means, don't quench the blaze. Don't extinguish the flame. I have a fire extinguisher with me this evening. Now, this thing may get a little stinky, and I'm going to be careful with it, but I am going to have some fun with my fire extinguisher. You're not to extinguish the fires that are to be blazing in your life. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit uniting with your spirit and doing something great for God. Okay, here we go. Brother Young, I don't think it's working for me. Excuse me. I already pulled the ring. Okay, that's fine. I am not going to use this extinguisher, but it would have gone something like that and thrown things everywhere. Well, listen to me. The Bible is teaching us that we are to be careful not to extinguish the fires. Let's see. What in the world could we do to protect your fires? You have a spirit that is to unite with the Holy Spirit to make a blaze, a conquering blaze in your life. What in the world could you do to protect your fires? Well, it's all laid out right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We've read it to you three times this evening. Let me show you how you're to protect your spirit and His spirit. Let me show you how you're to do it. It says there in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Right there in the passage, right in the midst of it, it says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, don't put the fires out. And He is telling us what we can do to keep the fires ablaze. He says, rejoice evermore. Notice it says evermore. Rejoice in ever more things. It's talking about rejoicing in those things that are eternal. Now listen to me. Your spirit will be quenched if all you do is depend on the happenings of life. How much money you have, what kind of house you live in, how happy you are today and how you feel. All those things are too unpredictable. Let me tell you about some things that are not unpredictable. The things of God are not unpredictable. We sing, have you heard the song, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We need to learn to rejoice, but we need to learn to rejoice evermore. Rejoice in your salvation. That'll never change. I can guarantee you those that think they lose their salvation, they're on an emotional roller coaster. I've got it. I don't have it. I've got it. I don't have it. I've got it. I don't have it. I'm going to do right. Not going to do right. Going to do right. Not going to do right. Listen, I'm saved. It's sealed. It's signed. It's delivered. It's all over with. And some of you, your spirit would be better if you'd learn to rejoice over ever more things. It'll help your spirit. It'll help your spirit to stay ablaze with His spirit. And it'll keep you from quenching the spirits. Rejoice in your God's greatness. Not yours. Your God's. Why? Never changes. Rejoice in heaven. It's great. The economy is not affecting it. Rejoice in eternal life. Rejoice in what God is and what God does. You heard the old saying, some are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, but others are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. Here's some of you, you're no good to God. Your whole spirit, your whole attitude in life is based on what happens down here, what you have down here, what somebody said to you, what occurred the other day. Get your eyes off of this life and on to the next one, and you'll get happy. Look at heaven, look at God, look at Jesus, look at the Holy Spirit, look at eternity, and you'll say, hey, I've got nothing but good coming my way. That will help you not to have a quenched spirit here. What else? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Tucked right in the same passage of Scripture. And you say, but Owens, what does it mean, pray without ceasing? I don't think that means that you have to be on your knees 24/7. I don't think that's what that's talking about. I think it means just don't give up on prayer. Keep on praying. And you don't have to be on your knees to pray anyway. You can pray while you drive. I pray while some of you women drive. But you can pray while you drive, you can pray while you cook, you can pray while you work, you can pray while you sing, you can pray while you bathe. You can do all of that. So I think God is saying, listen to me. God says, listen to me. I don't want you to quench the fires in your life. I want you to have the Spirit's guidance in your life. So let me tell you some of the things to do. You need to rejoice evermore. You need to pray without ceasing. Don't give up on prayer. Keep on praying. Pray about everything. Prayer protects your fires. It protects your spirit. It'll protect His spirit. Have a prayer life, not just at mealtime. Pray. You need to schedule a time and spend time with God in prayer. And then you need to just pray throughout your day. We sing the song, sweet hour of prayer that takes me from a world of care. What's it talking about? God said, you come pray and I will pull you away from the fire extinguishers of life. And I'll keep your spirit good, which will aid my spirit, and it can blaze in your life, and you can have victory and do something great with your life. So, if you don't want to quench the fires, then you need to make sure you rejoice evermore. You better make sure you pray without ceasing. Next, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. If you want to have a good spirit, be thankful. To some of you, that makes no sense whatsoever. In everything give thanks. That's what God said. In everything. What's wrong with you, Brother Owens? You're ridiculous. That's what the Bible says. In everything, give thanks. Is that in your Bible? Okay, just want to make sure I didn't have a misprint here and everything. If you learn to do that, you'd have better spirit. You wouldn't be a flip out. You wouldn't be so unpredictable in spirit. In everything. You think, see, your kids will know, well, Mom will figure out a way to give thanks on this. Dad will figure out a way to give thanks. Things are tough, but Dad's going to thank God anyway. But don't worry. You don't have to wonder what mood he's in or what mood she's in. Why? Dad's going to give thanks. Dad's going to do what the Bible says. And it'll keep your spirit ablaze, and it'll aid his spirit, and you'll have some victory in your life. Hey, I seen this. It says, in everything give thanks. Not after. In. That means right in the midst of the moment of catastrophe, you say, thank God. God's good, amen? All the time. All the time. Be thankful, even in hard times. Not just before they come or after they pass. Being thankful will protect your fire. It's a fire protector. Being thankful will keep your fire healthy and his fire active in your life. Let's go on. But this 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now listen, if you want to keep your spirit healthy and you want his spirit to aid your spirit in victory, then you're going to have to want the will of God in your life. You see, it says here, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You must want the will of God in your life if you're going to have a healthy spirit. If the Holy Spirit is going to have freedom in your life, then you've got to want the will of God. In every area, you just say whatever you want, God, and then give it to Him. I want the will of God. Wanting God's will cause you to want to protect the fire. Let me tell you who's not interested in what I'm preaching tonight. Somebody's not concerned about the will of God. You're saying, so what's the big deal? The big deal about this, let's go watch football. Crank it out of here. You also have a bad spirit, a bad attitude about other things. But if you wanted the will of God, you'd be sitting on the edge of your seat saying, I need this. It's exactly what I need. I want to know how to have a good attitude. I want to have the right spirit about myself. Well, let me tell you what you do. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Want the will of God. Let's go on. What else can we do to keep the fires healthy? 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, despise not prophesying. Now, what is prophesying? That is equal to preaching. Preaching. Don't despise preaching. Despise is the opposite of exalting or lifting up. Despising is pushing down. Hey, don't make preaching unimportant in your life. Make it important in your life. If you want to have a bad spirit, if you want to quench your spirit and the Holy Spirit's spirit, here's what you do. Don't let the preaching guide your life. Have your mind made up. Don't let the preaching change you. Listen to the truth. Walk out and say, we're not doing that. We've already decided we're not doing that. We're not going to live by that. It's in the Bible, but that's too strict of an interpretation. That's all you have to do. You will quench the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me warn you, the more you push Him away, the less frequent He comes around. Because nobody wants to be rejected. Don't let the preaching change you. Don't let the preaching correct you. Criticize it. Push it down. Push it away. Every time you and the family get together, sit around and criticize the preaching, criticize what's said about the Bible, and you will quench your spirit. Your spirit is nasty because of your attitude toward preaching. If you would love preaching, it would better your spirit. It would improve your blaze. It would improve the Holy Spirit's moving in your life. But well, let's move on. What else? It says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, prove all things. So we're trying to figure out what we can do with our spirit. If we'll rejoice evermore, it'll help our spirit. If we'll pray without ceasing, it'll help those fires not to be quenched. If we will in everything give thanks, it'll help our fires. If we'll want the will of God, it'll help our fires. If we'll despise not prophesying or preaching, it'll help our fires. Now, It says prove all things. What's it mean? Test all things. Here's the answer key. The answer key is the Bible. The test is what you do with it.
Amen.
The key is the Bible. The test is what you do with it. Let the Bible be your decision maker, not your education.
Amen.
Let the Bible be your decision maker, not your judgment, but His. Let the Bible make your decisions, not your situation. We live in a day that they practice a thing called situation ethics. Right and wrong is not determined by any particular source. It's just your circumstances. It's just your situation. Well, this black and white book says there are some things that are always wrong, some things that are always right, and don't you sell out to the humanism of the day. If you want to keep a good spirit, stop making your own decisions and let God make your decisions by thus saith the Lord. Prove the Bible to be true. Live it. It's the answer to your problems. Let every area of your life prove to be what God teaches that Christian life should be. Keep your life hot for God. Keep your life hot for the Lord. Make your heart like a thermos that God can fill with hot love and the power of God. Did you hear about the blonde and her thermos? She was shopping at Kmart and came across the shiny silver thermos. She was fascinated by it, so she picked it up and bought it and took it over to the clerk and asked, "What is this?" The clerk said, "Why, that is a thermos. It keeps hot things hot and cold things cold." "Wow," she said, amazed at this. "I'm going to buy one of these." So she bought the thermos, took it to work the next day. Her boss, who was also a blonde, saw it on her desk and said, "What's that?" She said, "Why, that's a thermos. It keeps hot things hot and cold things cold." "Wow, that's amazing," said the boss. "What do you have in it?" She said, "Two popsicles and some coffee." Listen to me here. And that's you. You're hot, then cold, then hot, then cold, then hot, then cold. Get a little closer to the preaching and the Word of God and get yourself fired up a little bit, then you're cold again. Why don't you decide He is your God, this is your book, you will live it thoroughly, extremely, all the way, backing off for no reason whatsoever, and make it hot on the inside of your life. Instead of hot and cold, and hot and cold, hot and cold, hot. And that is exactly your spirit in life, by the way. You're fine, you're not, you're fine, you're not, you're fine, you're not, you're fine, you're not, you're fine, you're not. Good mood, bad mood, good mood, bad mood, good mood, bad mood. I like him, hate him, like him, hate him, like him, hate him. I'm going, not going, I'm going, not going, I'm going, not going. No wonder you're going like this old. And everybody around you is like this. Get your spirit right. And you'll do that according to the Bible. By doing what, Brother Owens? Well, it says here, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Want the will of God. Despise not prophesying. And then it says in verse 21, hold fast that which is good. What that mean? Hang on tight to the Bible. Hang on tight to prayer. Hang on tight to Jesus. Be sold out for the truth. Decide to be a good Christian and stick to it. Stop hopping in and out. Plant yourself in the Bible and decide to live it no matter what. We got too many bunny Christians. I mean, we're just hopping everywhere. I believe in soul winning. Huh? I don't believe in soul winning. I believe in soul winning. Huh? I don't believe in soul winning. I should be faithful to church, but I'm not going to be. I should be faithful to church, but I'm not going to be. I should read my Bible, but I'm not going to. I should read my Bible, but I'm not going to. Get off the bunny thing. Get in and lock in and get your spirit fixed. See, that's the way your spirit is. You're here, and then you're here, and then you're here, and then you're here. You can tell just by the crowd that you spend your time with. One minute you're with somebody special, the next minute you're not. One minute you're with somebody that would not curse and tell dirty jokes, and the next minute you're with somebody that will curse and tell dirty jokes. No wonder your spirit's all messed up. One minute you're with somebody that loves the Lord, they're loyal, dedicated, not a critic. The next minute you're over in a corner somewhere talking to somebody about something you shouldn't be talking about. No wonder your spirit's messed up. No wonder. Stop hopping. Grab a hold of God's ways, determine to never let go, and don't worry about what it's going to cost you. And we'll fix your spirit. And then His spirit and your spirit will be strong. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain means stay completely away. It says, abstain from the appearance of evil. The very appearance. This is saying, you're smart enough not to participate. But then, we're going to say, you're not even to appear to be evil. God's saying, even somebody with half a brain that's spiritual would say, I'm not going to do evil. God said, but let me give you another step. Stay away from the appearance of doing evil. Remember, evil and sin are not exactly the same. Sin is what we do that hurts ourselves. Evil is what we do that hurts others. Evil is often due to the use of the tongue. If you don't get control of your tongue, your spirit will always be squelched. Some of you are constantly dousing your spirit because of your tongue. Your temper, your criticism, your gossip. And you'll stay miserable until you get it under control. Listen, these things are exactly, you just look there in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at the verses. Study them for yourself. These things surround the not quenching the spirit. Don't douse the fires. Hey, and don't let others douse your fires. Who is your fire quencher? Who is it that you're around that is dousing your fire? Hey, usually fire dousers don't have much fire. So you're running around with somebody that doesn't have much of a blaze, and you're letting them ruin your fire. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're weak in their own personal spirit. Let me ask you something. Do you pick the people you spend time with based on whether or not they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Hey, young people, you want a little guideline on how to marry right? Marry a man that's filled with the power of God. Hey, men, you want to know how to find the right woman? You find a woman that is submitted to the Holy Spirit of God and you can live with her. You find one that's filled with the spirit of criticism and you'd be better off going to hell, son. She'll make you wish you had gone. So who are these people? Oh, they're the non-rejoicers. They won't sing in church. They'll laugh at dirty jokes, but not at my jokes. They think I'm stupid. Because they're so used to filth and sexy talk. They're spirit quenchers. They're fire fighters. But the wrong fire is being fought. My son, I think I told you this last Wednesday night, my son Jeff, when he was first born, he was so much fun to play with. We had taken him and I'd give him a lemon. Just a little tot. He'd take that lemon and suck on it, and the face that he would make, it was great. You know something? That's what some of you do because of your spirit. You make things sour for people. A non-rejoicer is a spirit quencher because a rejoicer is a spirit lifter. Non-prayers. How do you know who the non-prayers are? I've never found a non-prayer that has a consistent prayer life. You know something? I have never known anybody that is a critic and a gossip that has a consistent prayer life. When you're a gossip and a critic, you're telling on yourself. As a matter of fact, just examine yourself. Let's do this. I want the most avid critic in the house to raise your hand. I'm going to have you come up here and tell us how much time you spend in prayer a day. Would you raise your hand, please? The people I thought would raise their hand are not raising it. Well, okay, we'll let you off the hook. You won't have to be on the illustration, but just examine yourself. Biggest critics, biggest gossips are the ones that don't have a prayer life. The unthankful are the quenchers. They're the complainers. Have you heard the song? The grumblers. Grumble on Monday, grumble on Tuesday, grumble on Wednesday too. Grumble on Thursday, grumble on Friday, grumble the whole week through. Are you a grumbler? Grumble, grumble, grumble. Well, that's unthankful. No wonder you've got a bad spirit. You're unthankful. Unthankful people quench their spirit. They quench the fire. I was in a distant state recently visiting. I was preaching. I said to the pastor, I know of a man that is in prison. And I would like to go visit him while I'm here. Pastor said, well, that's highly unusual. You flew 4 hours and you want to go visit someone in prison? I said, yes, because I think he needs someone to care about him. And I'm going to go. I went. It came time for this man that I was visiting with. Well, when we got there, we offered him a meal. And there was little machines there. And I got very special privileges. They let me in, and it was fantastic. I mean, I actually got to meet with him and sat across the table from him. But amazing, you wouldn't believe it. The guy said to me, I said, let's get you something to eat. He said, could I get one of them chocolate bars? I said, you sure can. He said, boy, I'd like to have one. We got it for him. He unwrapped it. I watched him break little pieces off, put it in his mouth. He sat there and he went, oh. He said, if you don't mind, I'm just going to enjoy every little bite. It took him 35 minutes to eat one chocolate bar. I'm going to tell you what, Brother Mike, I could barely hold back the tears as I watched him eat his candy bar. And we threw enough food away today to feed an army. We're griping because it's too hot in the church, or you sat on a tough chair for a little while. You lost $2,000 from your portfolio last year. No wonder the Spirit of God does not dominate the Christians of today. We've got 3 cars and one's broken down and we're upset. We won't even come to church because of it. You want the Spirit of God in your life? You want to have a good family? You want to have a good life? You want God to use you? No wonder we squelch. No wonder we douse. No wonder we put the fire out. Those that are uninterested in the will of God are firefighters. They plan their own life. They do what pleases them. Hey, and you know something? You're to submit your every day and everything you do to the Holy Spirit of God. Everything. All of it. You don't even have to go out and murder someone to get out of the will of God. You can go do something good that God didn't want you to do. You say, is there something good that God didn't want me to do? There might have been something else good that He wanted you to do, but you chose what you wanted to do. Preaching and truth rejectors quench the Spirit. Critics of the truth rather than livers of the truth. Unfaithful to the church services. They'll quench your spirit. All I have to do is spend a week with you and find out what you talk about at work. Hey, will you go to work tomorrow and talk about the Holy Spirit of God that I taught on tonight? No. You tell your filthy jokes. Laugh. Be careful. There are fire extinguishers out there. How about those that reject the Bible? And that they reject the fact that the Bible proves how they should live. You know, proving all things. They think it's full of suggestions, not commandments. That's the difference in me and some of you. I am a conservative when it comes to the interpretation of that book. I believe he meant every word of it. You think they're just nice suggestions. They're just nice suggestions. The Bible is not the final authority in your life. It's your conscience. And the Bible teaches your conscience is seared and damaged. Hey, who puts the fire out? Those who won't hold fast. Holding fast, that is true. They're unstable in their commitment to God. Not dedicated to His will. They've not yet decided to go with God and stick with Him no matter what. Who are those that put out the fire? Those who won't abstain from the appearance of evil. Not just stay away from evil. Remember, evil's hurting others. They won't stay away from the appearance of evil. See, there are some of you, you would not go around doing evil, hurting others through criticism and gossip and things like that. You may not go around say it, but you'll sit there and listen to it. Then you have the appearance of evil. It takes two to gossip. It takes two to criticize. One mouth and a set of ears. You say, what do I do? You say, excuse me, I'd rather not hear that, and you walk away. When you see them, you don't go out to eat with them, and then you know they're going to rattle their mouth. You say, I wonder if they're in my family. You better limit the time. They'll douse your spirit. And you know it. I wonder how many of you come to me and say, but Lord, what do I do? Anytime I'm around my parents, anytime I'm around my brothers and sisters, all they do is douse my spirit. What do? I feel trapped. I'm going to love them and spend time with them. What am I going to do? Hey, family members, don't put out each other's fires. Don't squelch the fire. It is the fire that will give your family victory. How do you treat a fire extinguisher? Well, you love them. You pray for them. You separate from them all you can. Live a spirit-filled life for their example. Don't criticize them. Sincerely, praise any flicker of fire that's in their life. But the greatest thing you can do is be filled with the Holy Spirit of God yourself. Question for you. You filled with the Spirit of God? You filled with the Spirit of God? Are you filled? Choir, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Quench not the Spirit. And I've told you how to keep your fire and His fire blazing in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed.